Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to today, the end of January's The Man's Voice show. We're glad to have you here with us. We're glad you're joining with us in this new year. I want to say welcome to the panelists and to the panel, just so that you know, because I don't forget when we get ready to go off, I decided for this new year, what I really want to do is for every show, one of the panelists to take the lead, and I'm going to do it alphabetically. So that puts Bruce on taking the lead as next week. He'll be the one that does the lead that we'll ask questions, things like that. And we'll do it alphabetically, but Bruce isn't on at the moment, but we'll tell him. But anyway, say hello to the panelists. Wait a minute. A couple of them don't have their microphones on. Let me turn their mics on and then we can all get started. I want to say hello to Darius, because we missed you. I understand you had some issues, and you know, our prayers and thoughts were with you at the time, but welcome to the show, sir. Welcome back.
Hey, thank you. I'm so glad to be back. Miss talking with you guys. I know there's been so much that has gone on since I left. I guess there's no way for us to catch up on everything in an hour show, but I'm just glad to be back again. Thanks.
All right.
Glad to have you back, Darius.
Yeah, everybody's been asking about you.
Yeah, Darius, this is Michael, man. Really good to have you back, brother. It really is, and my prayers and thoughts are with you and your family, and I hope you're blessed, my brother.
Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate the support.
All right. So as we get started, we're just going to throw this out there so everybody can kind of jump in when they want to. But it seems like our new president, Biden, has really been signing things. There have been 42 executive orders put in place since he has come on board. And a lot of them are things that I think are really important for the American public. For health care. I mean, he's done something in health care. He's done something in environment. I mean, it goes on and on and on. He's even had an executive order that restoring the trust in government through scientific integrity and evidence-based policymaking, which I think is a big one. Although he's pushing more stimulus checks. The stimulus checks supposed to be, they keep going up. This one is $1,400. That he's pushing, but of course there are 10 members of Senate that are wanting to have a conversation with him about lowering that. But anyway, what are your thoughts, Don? Where are you on what's been going on in the government?
Thank you, David. Welcome, Darius. We'll miss you, my brother.
Miss you too. Thank you, man.
Yeah, welcome back, man. Welcome back. I think that we did receive the $600 stimulus prior to Donald Trump leaving office. And he's advocating another $1,400, which will make it $2,000. I know we were talking with Andrew Yang and some other leaders, along with the Black Caucus, asking that people 18 years and older making less than $75,000 per year would receive $2,000 a month for 6 months to really help the citizens of this country out. They're going to need more than $1,400. And right now, Biden has said, we've got to do this. We've got to do this. And I'm going to make sure we do it. And listen, we've already gone through a lot this past year. And we've got to make the people of this country whole, because unemployment is running rapid. People are hurting. And we need to take care of our people with COVID, the testing, and economic help right now. David, I'm hoping that the Democratic Party and the nonpartisan group that they're able to put together really take this thing serious and get us some help, man. Everybody needs help.
That's so true. All right. Let's jump over to Ron. What are your thoughts? You know, there has been a lot of work going on since President Biden has got into office. I mean, let me just – some of the things I don't think we even know. Let me just give you like five or six of the executive orders. There's one that he did on protecting women's health at home and abroad. So he's trying his best to see that females are taken care of. There's an executive order on tracking the climate crisis at home. But something that we probably didn't know is he has also tried to rejoin the Paris Climate Agreement. So I know, Ron, for you, you know, climate is a big issue, and he's working on that. He has an executive order on protecting public health and environment, so he's trying to get the Obamacare Act reestablished. It is an executive order on advancing racial equity and support for underserved communities through the federal government. So we see what that means. There's an executive order on preventing and combating discrimination on the basis of gender identity or sexual orientation. He did a memorandum condemning and combating racism, xenophobia, and intolerance against Asian American and Pacific Islanders in the United States. So when we say he's working for everybody, I think some of his executive orders show that. What are your thoughts, Michael?
Oh, I absolutely think that he's working for everybody. But I thought you were going to go to Ron on that question. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm sorry. You're right. Ron, what are your thoughts?
Thank you, Michael. It's okay. Well, you know, I out of all the executive orders you read, I absolutely agree with all of them. And Michael, you're, you know, I'm with you on the fact that he is working for everybody. The only thing that worries me a little bit, though, is that I hope he doesn't try to accomplish everything by executive orders. And I know that some of his critics, and I've already heard this, are saying that, you know, he's just a puppet, and they're saying sign this executive order, which I don't believe, by the way. I don't believe that for a sec, for a minute. But that's what some of his critics are saying, is that he's being told you have to sign this and this, and he's just signing them. But again, you know, I don't believe that for a minute. But I think he's setting the pace and setting the bar really high he's not letting grass grow under his feet. He's really off and running to, in my opinion, a great start, and representing every community, you know, LGBT, the Asian community, the African American community. I mean, I can't recall any other president that has done that this early on in their in their term. Oh my God, I lost my train of thought. Who was on? Oh, Don. What you were saying, you know, about the stimulus package and all that. You know, I couldn't agree more. I think it's desperately needed. I'm with you. I don't think 1,400 is enough, but, you know, at least let's get the 1,400 for now, if we can, as soon as possible, into people's hands. And, you know, and again, of course, I've heard critics, because I've got them in my own family, say that, you know, there's people that are going to be getting stimulus money that don't need it. Well, you know, I thought about that, and yes, there are people that you know, that are more comfortable than others, but I think everybody has been impacted by the pandemic and by the economic crisis. I mean, I'm spending more money because I can't go in the grocery store, so I have to order online and pay more for groceries, and, you know, it's just impacting everybody. So, and the cost of not doing anything now is going to be so much greater in the long run than really doing a comprehensive package now that takes care of the American people. So I applaud everything that's been going on so far.
All right. Let me ask a question. Darius, somebody just sent me a text asking the question, how do you feel about what happened in Washington and the Trump second impeachment? Do you feel that those are things that should happen, that Trump should be impeached?
I think if someone asks me that question or asks you that question to ask me, they know my answer on it. I think it's pretty obvious. If you guys know me, you know that it's definitely the impeachment is a farce. And it's not going anywhere. And no, he should not have been impeached. You know, and that's not even counting the whole constitutional matter about removing someone from office who isn't in office. He's not a sitting president. So you can't impeach or remove from office a private citizen. But let's ignore the constitutionality of it. Let's just look at the facts of what happened. You know, the FBI just came out with a report last week saying that these plots were conceived before the march even happened. We also look at the timeline as to when President Trump completed his speech and to when they actually started rioting at the Capitol. That calls into question of whether or not they were incited. Then there's also his words, which are very, very clear. The last thing he said is, we're going to march, we're going to fight, and we're going to peacefully and patriotically protest. I don't think you can get any clearer than that. I don't even want to bring up the hypocrisy of the left, who's been telling us all summer long that there is no violence, that there aren't any riots. And then we have our own sitting vice president who set up a bail fund to bail out people who broke in the stores and stole flat screen TVs and killed police officers and burned federal buildings and burned police stations. So, I stand with everyone who says that, you know, if anybody who's saying that what they did at the Capitol was wrong, I stand with you. Violence in any situation is totally wrong. It should never be encouraged. It should never be permissible. We should never accept it. But I also say to the left, if you're upset and you're enraged about the riots that went on in the Capitol, where have you been all summer? We've been saying it all summer that this stuff is wrong. But, you know, it can't be wrong for one group because you agree with what they're writing about, and then okay for another group. So the hypocrisy is just, I mean, it's a stench unlike anything I've ever seen before. But I also, in response to that, I wanted to also reply to or respond to those executive orders. I think Ron said he's working for everyone, and I think you said it also, David. I don't know if you could say it's working for everyone when you speak to the 10,000 and put out of work. I don't think they'll tell you that Joe Biden's working for them. I don't think evangelicals will say Joe Biden's working for them when in that proposal that he talked about women's health care, outside the world, all around the world, the devil's in the details, because that healthcare package also includes government-sponsored abortions. So that means me, as a Christian who does not believe in abortion, I am paying with taxpayer dollars not only to fund abortions here, but internationally. I don't think he's working for me. I don't think the people who have kids, our daughters who are playing sports and are up and eligible for scholarships will say that Joe Biden's working for them, when you can have a boy who just merely identifies as a girl join the basketball team and take a basketball scholarship from an anatomical or a biological female. I don't think you could say he's working for those people. He's certainly not working for me when I have granddaughters that'll be growing up and will have to take showers with somebody with a penis because they identify as a female. He's definitely not working for the America, everybody in America, when he passes these kinds of packages. And it seems more virtue signaling than trying to get things done. And I think American people would much rather have jobs and security than they would have checks coming out or stimulus checks. Yeah. So if you really want to help the people, you know, focus on coronavirus like he's been doing. I give him that. Focus on that. And focus on getting the economy back up and running. And the way you do that is not by destroying jobs. You create jobs, and then you also will get rid of the need for these stimulus checks that we're passing out.
All right, Bruce, what are your thoughts on this subject?
What are my thoughts on what?
On this subject, what we were talking about just now. On
Well, first of all, you also know being center and center right, I couldn't agree with Darius more on the fact that we need to get the economy going, and a lot of the examples he gave that clearly show it's not helping everybody. It's helping part of the country. But when the president stands up there and, as they used to call it for President Trump, lies on public TV about it's helping everybody, just tell the truth. It's helping these many people. This is why I'm doing it. Both parties, and now it's well, you're talking about President Biden, have this affinity against the truth. They just can't say it. They're always hedging their bets, and that's been on both sides. But now we're talking about the current administration. So if you're going to use the same definition and the same template, he's lying to too many people in the United States, including people of his own party. I think Biden is being carefully puppetized or orchestrated, whatever word you want to use, by a small faction of the left that have very radical ideas that they don't want to work into the system and give reasons why they think they're good. They just want it now. And evidently, I mean, the rumblings you hear, there were enough markers that they can call in now on the election of President Biden that he gets a stack of executive orders and they say, sign them. And, you know, halfway through it, he might say, what am I signing? What is this? Just sign them. And that's not the way he should be president, nor anyone for that matter. The president should be the one in charge. Not a strong far left portion that's steering their entire group now, and I don't think they're steering them down the right road. I think if Biden had a chance to really govern the way he wanted to and not have to look over his shoulder, and he's not looking over his right shoulder, he's looking over his left shoulder, he would do things entirely different. I think he would try and negotiate with the right. I think he would try to do things that are compromises, not all or nothing. But he's not going to be given the chance. That's the scary part of it.
All right, Michael, what are your thoughts?
Okay. First, I'm going to start off by shocking you. I'm going to agree with Darius on two things. One, Darius, I do disagree with the whole transgender, the boys in the girls' bathroom thing. I totally disagree with that. I think they went too far with that. I mean, I don't want my daughter, or if I have granddaughters or sisters or nieces, playing sports and have to worry about some boy in the dressing room with them. And this is just some little horny boy who's telling everybody he's really a transgender, but he's not. He just wanted to go in the girls' locker room. It's like, that is gonna happen. Like, I mean, I played sports my whole life. I know how boys think. So I don't think Joe Biden is thinking about it from that angle when he signed that executive order. So I agree with you, Darius. I think that was a bad idea. Second thing, Darius, I agree with you. We need to give Trump some credit on when before he left, his pardons. He pardoned of a lot of people, and one of the guys he pardoned was a very positive, key leader in the African-American community, someone that the African-American community really looked up to, a guy named Michael Harris, and they called him Harry-O. He had been in there for 30 years unjustly. He should have been out a long time ago, and Donald Trump pardoned that man and let him out, and he's a free man home with his family now because of Donald Trump. So I give credit where it's due. Everybody knows I hate Donald Trump's guts, but I am an honorable man who give credit where it's due. So I got to give Donald Trump his credit there. Don was talking about the third thing. Don was talking about something about the $2,000 should be every month, about that idea. I agree with that idea. I think you said you spoke to Mr. Yang about that, Don. Yang calls that a universal basic income. It's called a UBI. I think it's a great idea to give a certain class, a certain group of people, a guaranteed income every month. I think that just makes total sense. So that's a far-left idea. I know the right is never going to go for that idea, Don, but I'm glad to hear that that conversation is going on within the left circles. So I think that's a really good idea, and hopefully that will be in the package moving forward, in the stimulus package. Now, Darius, I got to criticize you about comparing the BLM rioters to what happened on Capitol Hill, because I get tired of that argument. Rioting is horrible. I agree. We all condemn rioting and violence. It's horrible. But the difference between what was going on this summer and what just went on the 6th is that BLM, we were out there rioting, protesting for equal justice. I mean, George Floyd had just gotten killed by the hands of the police, and we've been saying this has been going on for hundreds of years. So we were protesting something very valid that we've been protesting since Dr. Martin Luther King. Okay, so this has been an ongoing conversation for us. You guys raided the Capitol and tried to shut down the government, okay? You can't compare those two. Those are two totally different conversations. So I hate when you guys on the right try to compare, well, where were you guys this summer, when you always say that about where were we this summer with the riots in the summer. You can't compare that to treason. You guys raided the Capitol and tried to hang the vice president. That's a huge difference. We didn't raid the Capitol. Okay, and Darius, in regards to the 10,000 jobs you quoted, you guys always say that dumb Joe Biden just destroyed 10,000 jobs. You're referring to the Keystone Pipeline. Yes, he deaded the Keystone Pipeline, as he should, because it was a horrible executive order signed by Donald Trump that ran a pipeline through people's communities in their neighborhoods just to get oil down to his rich buddies in Texas. He was destroying thousands of people's lives just to get oil down to his buddies in Texas. So, yeah, Joe Biden deaded that. Unfortunately, it did destroy 10,000 jobs, but hey. All I can say. Now, one last thing. You said the evangelicals aren't very happy right now. I would disagree with that. I know some evangelicals, and they told me they're very happy that we have a president that doesn't sleep with porn stars and pay them $100,000. They said they're so happy to get behind a guy who's faithful to his wife. Okay? I cede the floor.
All right. Ron, I have a couple of questions. One is, Bruce, you were talking about Biden is talking to people and their lies and all these lies. I have some things I want you to tell me about. One is, there was a president who told us we were building a wall on the U.S. border with Mexico and getting Mexico to pay for it, which was one of the last president's flagship promises from his campaign. But not only that, what about vaccine? As the coronavirus pandemic dominated the final year of the last president's presidency, he made a series of promises regarding a vaccine. He kept repeating that the U.S. would have a vaccine by the end of 2020. While experts were really skeptical about it, the administration, Trump administration accelerated vaccine development initiatives, but then they wouldn't buy it. And then in other countless rallies and other speeches, the last president claimed he and his administration would always protect people with pre-existing conditions. This is one promise that if you fact check, even before the end of the presidency, you would find out that that was really not very good. Also, during the last president's campaign, he promised to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, which was a health care law often referred to as Obamacare. And then after the passage of 2017, Republicans effectively eliminated the individual mandate, and he was for it. And so, but it was still there. And then, just one more. You know, the last president initially pledged to eliminate the U.S. debt in 8 years. He later scaled that down to a promise of just reducing a portion of the debt to $19 trillion, though he didn't specify the extent of the new goal. But under the debt that last president created, and deficit only got worse. So according to the last report from the Government Accountability Office, the federal debt was $26.9 trillion as of September 30th, 2020. So when you're saying that President Biden is telling a bunch of lies, I don't know how you can compare. Answer that, Bruce.
Easy. He is. He's telling all of us are going to be better off, and if this significant job is gone, you can just go get another one, and this and that. So he's got, without making a long list, which you just did, and rightly so, that's your opinion. He's not telling the truth. He's slanting things and twisting things to fortify his agenda. Have both parties been guilty of that? Sure. But to say he isn't is wrong. And as you said, Michael, about the Capitol, we've all agreed. Darius agreed. I agree. The two most right people on this panel and half the voting public agree, if not all, that was a heinous act. It was wrong. But it was an act by, between 150 and 250 people. It wasn't 70 million. And they conveniently always paint with the brush that, all of you people did this. You incited this. And the reason we're going to keep the latest thing you hear, the reason we're going to keep all the fencing and make it permanent around the Capitol, which is totally wrong for so many reasons, is because you never know when part of that 70 million might come and do it again. You don't foster coming together and solving problems by constantly lighting those separative fires. It's wrong. And like I said, it may not even be his idea, but he's captured. He's a puppet, and he's doing what the far left want him to do. I mean, he has to read from some notes sometimes of what he's signing. What the list is so long, he's got to go. Let's see, the next one's this, this, this. And I'm not saying that he's mentally challenged. I'm just saying there's so many of them, he can't even keep track, and he doesn't even know what half of them are sometimes. So there are a lot of reasons, David, that this is. The left is not sacrosanct, and they're not guiltless, and they're power hungry. One last thing on the pipeline, back on that again. If they're going through some towns and they couldn't do a better job of possibly burying it, going through a town or avoiding the town, you can't put in any kind of utilities without offending someone. I don't care if you build a roadway, a pipeline, an airport, or whatever. However, we have badly wronged our best neighbor north of us, Canada, by doing that. And you think that oil still isn't going to get somewhere at a higher cost? Sure it will. It'll come by rail. It'll come by car. By truck. And when you look at it that way, the environment's going to suffer. I mean, so for all the reasons they're saying they want to shut it down, there's multifold more that they should keep it going. And then work with the group and say, we'll keep it going, but this is what we want different for these reasons. They're not doing that. They're just saying we're going to shut it down. His first day in office, we're shutting it down. Period. Done. You can't tell me, David, that that's the way to run the country.
All right,
hey, David,
Don.
Can I chime in? Can I, David, can I add something to that, to what Brewster said?
Sure.
As well?
Go ahead.
Okay. So also concerning the pipeline, and your talk, I think Michael was talking about the people who were offended. I don't know if you understand this, but there was a deal struck with Native American lands that this pipeline was going through. And those Native Americans are upset right now because they were getting land leases. They were going to be paid stipends for having those pipelines come through there. So it wasn't a total lack of concern for those communities that were having the pipeline come through there. So they were going to be economically supported for that, for the use of those lands. And and also in reference to him lying, let's look at lying from day one when he committed to, oh, yeah, I never said I was going to stop fracking. I never said I was going to stop fracking. Well, guess what? All fracking on all federal lands is going to be discontinued. All fracking on government leased properties are going to be discontinued. So that was a flat-out lie. And the reason – and he has lies by omission. Like, if he would have ran on saying we're going to have international taxpayer funds for abortion, he wouldn't have been elected. If he would have told us that the first thing he was going to do was pass a transgender bill that allowed transgenders to be in the military. Oh, and by the way, the military, I think the federal government will pay for sex changes. These are things, you know, that he did not disclose when he ran. So if he would have told those workers that he was going to discontinue that pipeline, he knew that he would have lost support from the unions in the oil and gas industry. That's why he kept that close to the vest until after he got elected. So those union workers who supported him in the oil and gas industry, they felt like they were lied to because the first thing he did was put them out of work. And I'm positive they would not have voted for him if that were the case.
All right. Okay, one last thing on the pipeline, and then I'll be quiet. I've also heard from a number of states where the pipeline is coming through, a lot of their revenue is generated from that activity. So the web continues out further and further in a bad way. They're going to lose revenue, and where are they going to get it? We're going to have to raise taxes and make it. See, this is the agenda that the far left want. More and more taxes, more and more control. We'll just raise the taxes and give you that money you've lost. No, they won't. No, they can't possibly print enough money to when it gets that big. So it's just one thing after another, David. And as I said, the right is not guiltless either, but neither is the left.
Somebody has a background, a TV or something in the background?
Yeah, please turn it off.
Yeah, who is that?
There we go.
All right, so
Don. That's all I'm saying is he's not guiltless. And I don't know the reasons why, but he's not close to being guiltless.
And you want somebody dealt with who just got in office. But, Don, you want to pick up the conversation?
Yes, please. My God. You know what, David? You asked some very pointed questions to Bruce. He never answered any one of them.
Right.
You know, let me say this. We're going to build the wall, and Mexico is going to pay for it. That was the biggest lie told to the American people. It was thousands and thousands and millions of dollars that were spent. We built the wall. My tax dollars built the wall. That was a lie. That was a flat-out lie. Number two, you gave a tax break, the wealthiest tax break in the country, to your friends. And now here we are begging for $2,000 of our own money over a period of time. You took care of all of your rich partners and your evangelicals They're going to hell.
Uh-huh.
Because it wasn't right. It was not right. And then, number two, you dropped the ball on COVID-19. You dropped the ball. You lied to me. You lied to the American people. And then you dropped the ball and walked away from it. People are dying. And now the vaccine, we can't even get our hands on it. People need the vaccine. Here in South Florida, we got a governor down here. He can't even get the vaccine to the people. Trump Jr., DeSantis. I mean, listen, we need healing. We need healing. We need healing. That's what we need. I rest my case.
All right, Ron, where are you on this subject?
I want to address Bruce was saying about Biden the puppet, because these are days where there's absolutely no. I mean, you can say whatever you want. You don't know what's going on behind the scenes. None of us do. So to say that this pipeline, you know, that he's just signing the dotted line and not even knowing what he's signing, I think it's ludicrous. He has surrounded himself by very intelligent people. I'm sure conversations are going on all the time. So for anybody to sit here and say that he's just signing things without knowing what he's signing is to me nonsense. You know, I have trust in his cabinet. I have trust in the people that he has appointed. And, you know, the pipeline situation, yes, you know, that 10,000 jobs may have been lost, but who knows what's been going on behind the scenes. You don't know, Bruce. You don't know, Darius. I don't know, Ron. Nobody knows. So I think it's very hypocritical to sit here and say that he's being a puppet.
All right. All right, guys.
Hey David, can I weigh in on that, please, real quick?
Sure.
Okay, let's be clear about Bruce, you and Darius are both saying that Biden's a liar and calling him a liar. On the first day of the Trump administration, he said he had the biggest crowd ever in the history. That was a lie. He didn't. That was a flat-out lie. On his last day, he said, go to the Capitol. I'm coming with you. And he didn't go with him. He ran back in the house when everyone else went to the Capitol. He lied on his first day in office, and he lied on his last day in office, and he lied every day in between. So to hear you guys holler, liar, liar to Joe Biden, you guys do understand you don't have a leg to stand on calling someone a liar when you supported King Liar for 4 years and now all of a sudden you want to call a liar on Joe Biden. You do understand you guys do not have a leg to stand on in that regard, right?
Oh, man. Okay. I'll be quick. I never said, and you conveniently separate them like the yolk from the white of an egg, that it was only the left. I said both have done it. And you just gave me some examples that you think are there from the right. I didn't say that they didn't do anything wrong. We're, as you've always wanted to do, who's in office now? Who's in control now? And I'm saying that there are a number of things that are going on that it's my opinion, I don't think Biden has a grasp on what's going on. And as far as the comments about the pipeline and the communities, that wasn't made up, and that wasn't my opinion. That was on television, and if what you say is true about all the major TV news stations telling the truth, they're the ones that were talking about it, with people from those communities or those states. So I did it based on what I heard, evidently the truth in the news.
I want to clear up a little something because I got a couple of emails from parents who are saying, why are you saying that Biden is allowing transgenders in schools and your kids are going to be playing with boys, and why are you just saying boys? There are women transgenders too, so they will be in the boys' locker rooms. But then again, because what he did was Joe Biden just lifted the Trump area ban on transgender Americans joining the U.S. military. It had nothing to do with anything outside the military. So I don't want to make sure that the public who are listening to us understand that now they're worried about their kids being in a locker room or gym with an opposite sex. But why are you guys saying that? Why did you say that, Darius? Why did you bring that point up?
Because it's a fact. It's not just the military. It's all federal federal properties, federal government institutions. So now what happens as a president, when you issue that kind of executive order, you create a national mandate. And so now, I don't know if you remember Barack Obama before his last days, he sued North Carolina and threatened to withdraw their federal funds in their public school system because they would not allow transgender males or females to use the restroom of their choice. So, no, it's not far off to say that because he says on all federal properties and all federal organizations that transgenders can participate, and it's a national mandate. But it also goes to when you talk about the military, what happens then is now you're creating a social experiment in an organization that's built on defense. There's no room for political correctness if we're having threats from other nations. So that's why I brought it up. But the caller or whoever emailed it made a very good point. It does go both ways. Girls can go in the locker room with boys, but the problem there is it's more of a disadvantage to women. And the reason I say that, because it's a biological fact. As the left is always saying, follow the science, let's believe in science. It's a biological fact that if you're a boy, you're stronger, you're faster, you can jump higher than women. So women are the ones who are going to be disadvantaged by these types of policies. So that's why I focused on the transgender males as opposed to the females. Women are going to be definitely affected the most with these types of policies. And once again, Joe Biden did not run on that. He didn't even mention it. He didn't touch it. And I agree with Bruce and Michael. Yeah, Donald Trump has lied. Nobody is saying he didn't lie, but just because one person lied doesn't mean that the other person didn't. So I can accept a lie from one candidate, but I can also see the lie from the other one, just like I can see violence from one group, just as I can see violence from the other. And I think when we compare what Black Lives Matter and Antifa is doing to – somebody needs to mute their phone. I'm hearing, like, the television. But when we compare what Martin Luther King did to what the BLM movement is doing now, I think we disgrace the movement, the civil rights movement of the 60s and the 50s. There's no comparison. Martin Luther King never would have convinced his people to break into stores and steal VCRs, and DVDs and flat-screen TVs and burn down police stations. So if you say this is different because it's a federal building – well, those federal courthouses that BLM and Antifa bombed were federal buildings. Those state capitals that they invaded and came in and did sit-ins in, those were federal buildings and state buildings, government buildings as well. Those police stations and those police officers that got killed were federal and state government employees also. So your feeling is that, well, what I feel is more important, so therefore I have a right to do it. Well, who determines that? Who decides whose feelings are more valid? And when we do that, we get into a foggy gray area. And we can all just say violence is wrong at any level, from anybody, no matter what the cause, then we can all be in agreement. But you cannot stand against one and support the other and have any type of validity, in my point of view.
Darius, I think what you have done is you have forgot the words that were said when those people walked into the Congress office in Washington, D.C., and overtook the government, and then threatened to kill the Speaker of the House, and then threatened to hang the Vice President of the United States. When you're the President of the United States, your words have legs. You've got to be very careful what you say, because a third of the world is gullible, and people will act on what you say. And the impeachment is going to happen, and they're going to start next week. Donald Trump is going to have a difficult time even getting lawyers to represent him, because nobody wants to represent a lie. So I hope he's able to get a good defense, because you're going to be very surprised as to what's going to happen during this impeachment.
All right, gentlemen, I want to...
Let me weigh in on something Darius said. It's burning me up inside. I got to push back on you with what you said about MLK and BLM, saying that they are not the same and MLK would not disagree. You are totally wrong on that one, my brother. Martin.
Let me just jump in here for a second, because one of the things I wanted to do was to make sure that
the streets marching with
putting out any false information. But I'm reading the executive order that lifted the transgender military ban, and it also says that on most transgender Americans. So it's not a full 100% that they will all be. What is there is that it's a military. It's lifting the Trump era ban on most transgender American military personnel. So I don't want us to say that everybody in federal government and all this kind of thing, and people be worried about what we said. It's definitely just military. But I'm sorry. Go ahead, Michael. Finish what you were saying.
Okay, yeah. Well, two things in regards to the transgender thing, and we'll close that one up. When Obama was in office, he did sign an executive order allowing the transgender to share bathrooms. Obama did sign that executive order, and Donald Trump did in that executive order. Now, the Biden executive order, I'm not too sure what it was, so I don't know if he allowed the bathroom thing to go on again. So if he did not, I'm not sure, so I can't really speak on that one. But Obama did sign that order. But what I was saying to Darius about You said MLK would not be happy with BLM, and you're wrong there, Darius. He would be very happy with the BLM movement, because Martin Luther King was out there marching where everyone thinks it was Rosa Parks. He was actually out there marching for a woman named Bettie Jean Owens, who was a Florida A&M student who got kidnapped one night and was raped by a bunch of white men, and no justice was served. So that's what the whole civil rights protest was about. They just used the Rosa Parks story because it was a little softer of a story, and they knew they could get media attention, and so they would never get media attention for Bettie Jean Owens. So that's what Martin Luther King was out there marching really for. BLM, we're out there marching for George Floyd, a guy who got killed in front of national TV with a guy who had his knee in his neck for 8 minutes. Okay, two very tragic situations, Bettie Jean Owens and Mr. George Floyd, but that's the reason MLK and BLM are the exact same movement. So, Darius, you're 100% wrong when you try, and anyone on the right, to try to say MLK would not agree with BLM. He would absolutely, positively agree with the Black Lives Matter movement.
Was the basis of MLK's civil rights movement, was the basis of that based on peace?
It was injustice. It was based on
No, sir, Michael. His whole thing was nonviolent. MLK's basis on everything he did was based on nonviolence, which is why he received the Nobel Peace Prize. He never agreed with, even when violence was committed upon them, he never agreed in retaliation with violence. So that's what I mean.
Guess who just got nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize? Let me think. BLM.
Yeah, they're not going to get it. Trust me.
Oh, yeah, they are. Oh, yeah, they are.
They will not get that. But I'm
they
just saying
said that about
I,
him
I
back then. They said, oh, we won't get it. They said that about him back then.
Michael, I agree with you, though, on the fact that it was about social injustice. You and I are in total agreement about that. I don't have a problem with that. What I'm talking about is nonviolence. That's what MLK was known for, nonviolence. And it was love. It was never about breaking in, rioting, burning, and killing. More black people died as a result of the protests and riots than died at the hands of police officers. And when you compare the Mary Jean that got killed, there was no justice there. The guy who killed George Floyd is in jail. Probably will never see the light of day again. So for us to say there is injustice is a lie. He's going to prison. He may get the death sentence. So we can't say that there isn't justice there. There is justice. Was it wrong? Absolutely. But this guy is not walking around free like those guys who raped that young lady.
Well, Breonna Taylor's killers are free. George Zimmerman's is free. Tamera Rice killers are free. I can go on and on about the free killers out there. Yeah, one guy, he got him. You got him. And he might even beat the case. But historically, the killer of the black guy never goes to jail. It's just historically a fact.
All right, guys. Let me add one more thing, too. I got almost got the honor to being in a group with Martin Luther King years ago, and you know, as part of an audience, I wasn't able to go, but I sure wish I would have. And you have to agree, or I'd like you to at least, but maybe you won't, that nonviolence is the strength, a constant drumbeat of nonviolent protesting, examples in your face, questions, barrage of anything that's nonviolent and consistent will cause compromise, thought process, and solutions. Violence, on the other hand, will never do that. It might make someone feel good for the moment, the ones that are perpetrating it on whoever is, but it will never bring solutions and compromise and a solution to a problem. And if you think it will, you're wrong.
Let me jump in for a second. We are in different times. The reason that Martin Luther King's whole program was nonviolent was because minorities back in those days were targets. It was nothing to shoot them, kill them, and throw them off the side of the road, which is not possible now. So the reason it was nonviolent was because he was saying, do not do violence because you will get killed. You will be eliminated, which we can't say now. We say, let's take care of our own selves and let's do what we have to do to make things correct. So I don't like comparing the two because they were different times and they were different.
And
people had different ways.
And David, you think violence is the answer? David?
I don't say violence is the answer. What I say is you go head on with something that's coming at you. If somebody's coming at me with a sword trying to kill me and I'm just supposed to stand there, or do I need a sword to make my way back?
Yes, of course. But we're talking about these groups that are protesting, and as Darius said earlier, the protest said, let's burn it down, and they did. And that we're not talking about an individual attacking another. Of course you got to defend yourself if that's the case. Anybody would in one way or another. I'm saying protesting in a nonviolent way or whatever you want to call it, stay in the face of the people that need to understand and change. We'll get you there. So I can't tell you how long, but violence won't. That just puts people's defenses up, whichever side is doing it. And they'll fight. That will not ever bring a group together and say, you've pummeled us to death. We're bleeding all over the street. So we're good now. What do you want? That's never going to happen.
Okay, so
and
Bruce,
the sad part is you said it's different times, but it's the same argument. We're asking.
Bruce, I would like for you to meet up with the Proud Boys and have that same speech, because what you're saying is for everyone. And I think what you're missing is we're not the ones causing all the problems these days.
Who do you mean when you say we?
Think about it. Go ahead, Michael.
Noah, you mentioned it different times, but the sad part is it's the exact same argument. In 1968, Martin Luther King was asking for justice for African Americans. In 2021, BLM were asking for justice for African Americans. It's the exact same argument. That's the sad part about the story. Yes, the times are different, but it's the exact same system.
And there enough a mixture, and it should continue to be representative of all different race, colors, and creeds in our legislative positions, both state and federal, that they couldn't start making that happen, that we don't have to fight physically to do it? That hasn't advanced? Of course it has. Does it need to probably advance better or in another way or more? Probably, but it's advanced quite a bit.
Let me ask you a question, Bruce, that I need you to make an analysis for me real quick. Tell me, what is Black Lives Matter protesting? And then tell me, what is Proud Boys protesting, or the people that started in Washington who caused those problems? What is the difference between the two?
It's an easy answer. There is not a difference between the two if both parts, both fraction groups, or whatever you want to call them, Black Lives Matter group and what they whip up, and the Proud Boys, what they whip up, they're both wrong.
No, that's not my point.
Neither one is correct.
But no, that was not my question. My question is, what are the protests? Black Lives Matter is protesting because of what? Because of discrimination. What are Proud Boys? They're not protesting. They're tearing up things, trying to hang people and kill people. Why? Because they can't have their way.
Well, and how about the people that are destroying things under the Black Lives Matter flag? Then the Black Lives Matter group should shun them and say, you can't do that. You don't represent us.
They do that.
But
that
you don't.
Done. That's being done. That's why they're.
It has?
Yes, it has.
Well,
hey, David,
there's an awful lot of examples that show that that isn't the case.
Pardon me? That's because you're
can
not getting the right information. Sure. Go ahead.
David, can I reply to that question? Can I reply to that question?
We only got 2 minutes left, so if you make it quick.
I can make it quick. Okay, so Proud Boys, let's start with this first of all. Being called a white nationalist or white racist group, I don't know if you guys need to research this, but the president of Proud Boys is black. He's a Cuban black American. I mean, a Cuban of Cuban descent, but he's black. So let's do that first and foremost. What the Proud Boys and other groups that stormed the Capitol are protesting against is not having a voice. They merely said, let's have an investigation. Can we look into this? And they're not being heard. They've been shut out on social media. They've been shut out by the major media, liberal media. No one is hearing them. So that's what their protest is about. So there is an injustice there. There's an injustice in the fact that if you even open your mouth in dissent, that you're being shut down. So that's why they're protesting. And Black Lives Matter is protesting because they feel like they don't have a voice. They feel like there's social injustice that's happening on their part. So, yeah, they do have a gripe. And for us to say that they don't have any beef or reason to protest is ridiculous. They're being shut down. And as Americans, they have that right to be heard, even if you don't believe it's true.
Okay, we want to end that right now, but there's a whole lot of comments to be made about that because I don't agree with any of that. But anyway, next week, like you said, Bruce, you weren't here at the beginning of the show. But what we're going to do in 2021, every week, one of the panelists are going to take my role and run the show just to see how it goes. And so we're doing it alphabetically, and you're B, so you're first. So we will.
No, I'm K.
No, we're going by first name. It's my rules.
Oh, no.
We're going by the first
name.
Did
we vote on that rule? I don't think so.
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
You're the host. That's right.
You're eating up our time, Bruce.
It's an
executive. You're eating up our time. Well, we're glad you're with us. Join us again next week here for The Man's Voice with Bruce Cooper will be taking the lead.
I'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Take care. I love you all, even though you don't love me. Take care, guys. Be safe.